we needed to increase the FAR just to match our own expectations for the district. That's what we had the traffic modeling for. We also took this opportunity because we were also asked by developers in the community to consider taller buildings. So the principle that we tried to build into the plan is going taller is fine, and in fact, we're allowing you to go as tall, you know, we're opened up how tall you could possibly go. We just want the floor plate and the buildings to be shaped and get thinner as they go up. And that's a development choice and a design choice, so it adds that flexibility. The shape of the building question, you don't have to model for traffic. You can fit the same amount of developments in several different designs of buildings.
So, Joe, I have a couple of questions. And at the end, I'm going to ask you just to walk us through what our options are.
Sure.
Because I'd like to make sure I understand each of the potential options that we would have and then your assessment of each. Mr. Winkler said this is somewhat an academic conversation, and it's contingent on whatever he has currently planned falling apart, and then he'd have to come back under the new rules. What would be his options if his current development did not proceed and he didn't operate within the current timeline and he was bound by these new rules? What options would he have to get any relief from those if he wanted to build a different kind of building?
Well, it sounds like the factors that would be most have the most impact on his building would be this maximum length of a facade, the 150 that you can modify up to 180 feet. And I'm going to ask Troy to confirm this, but Design Commission can give you some flexibility. They can get you up to 180 feet, but I believe they can't go beyond that. So that would be something that would be different than what he faces now. The other element that's different than now is there's maximum floor plate size at the lower height of 32,500 square feet. So if he needed a floor plate bigger than that in a single building, then, you know, that could be modified by Design Commission, but
no,
you would still be...
Sorry, I want to be clear. The what really sets the floor plate size below 175 feet is the maximum facade length. So what the code would say is you can get up to 150 feet, no problem. However, through a modification at design review, they can give you some relief and allow you to get up to 180 feet. If they were to do that on the facades, you'd be able to get a floor plate that's no more than 32,400 square feet. So that's really the maximum. And to get above that, the code would prohibit adjustments above that. So that's really the maximum size you could get.
And the current regulations probably allow for floor plates. They're silent onto the size of the floor plate. They just talk about the total amount of FAR that's allowed on the site. This might drive a redevelopment of the site into more than one structure. I mean, this is a very large parcel, so there's other, you know, design approaches that might be possible, but that is a new limitation that's not currently faced by the property.
So would you walk us through the various options that we have that we can at least consider and then just offer your opinion on each? We could accept
including the option that was suggested by.
So the first, I suppose, is we could accept your recommendation and turn this down. That's in the document before us.
Right.
And you said under that proposal, some issues could be kicked over to the Portland plan process.
Correct. Now the issues that we had really been focusing on for the Portland plan was how much development, because one of the major issues in the Portland plan is figuring out how we're going to work around the capacity limitations that the whole central city faces now. And we think that when you look at the big system, when you look at the whole central city, we're going to find ways to eliminate that roadblock to future development. Conway, a lot of the expansion sites we're all talking about are caught under that net of traffic limitations. So we need to renegotiate that with ODOT, look at our transit system, find big moves. They're going to give us greater capacity in the central city. So that's one reason the FAR question was kicked over to the Central Portland plan. The floor plate issue, I guess, would also be addressed in the Central Portland plan. I believe that we'll be looking at how we regulate the dimensions of buildings in general differently for a large part of the central city. But mostly the recommendation in the plan for moving to the Central Portland plan was focused on FAR.
So that's option one.
That's option one.
Option two, let's say he said, take us out of this North Pearl plan altogether, carve us out.
Now, option two is possible. What it would do is create a single parcel. It's surrounded by other parcels. So it would be an island within this North Pearl Plan district, and it would have a whole separate set of rules that apply to it. And if you look at the draft amendment package, just go to the table of contents on page 5. You're going to see that there's two sections, the Northwest Triangle Open Area Requirement and the Northwest Triangle Waterfront Development, that are struck through here. We would basically have to take all the provisions that exist today that we've re-amended or eliminated to make the North Pearl Plan that's in front of you and keep those in the code, and they all would just apply to one parcel. Because a lot of the way that we're regulating development through this plan is different than it was before. So that would be the big difference. We'd have to change the map. We'd have to change and add these provisions back in that would only apply to one parcel. Our brethren at the Bureau of Development Services would be probably strongly advocating for how much complexity that adds, I would probably want to go back and check with them that it's truly enforceable before we put that option in front of you. But I believe that that could be done.
But does that get to the issue of then having this development occur out of context?
Let me correct something that Joe said. Actually, the regulations that he's talked about actually still go forward. We've renamed them to the North Pearl sub-area. So those don't change. They're still applicable. So they're just a that doesn't make much of an issue. It's really how you gain additional floor area and how you gain additional height would be different in this one parcel than the rest of the parcels in the plan area. That would be the primary difference. And it's quite a difference in terms of how it's reviewed.
It isn't a difference in the facade length?
It would allow for much longer facade lengths than are
currently. That's the issue. It isn't the floor area because you said that was going to be, you were recommending that go over into the Portland plan anyway. Right?
Correct. The total amount of development would not change, but how big your floor plate be, how big your building could be would be different. Could be different. It's the same amount of, it's a 100,000 square foot building, Commissioner Leonard, but under, for instance, as an example, the new code would limit you to 32,000 square feet per floor. The existing code would not have a limitation like that. You could build a bigger floor plate, have fewer floors. But you still, at the end of the day, have a total
because I thought
amount.
You were recommending to set that over to be.
We're setting over the total amount of square feet you can build on a site.
I see.
See, so
okay.
It's a you
not
know.
The,
see
not,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, not
but
the footprint.
Maybe just on that point, it's the difference between a squatter, shorter office building and a thinner, taller building. Is that right?
It is theoretically the question I would ask is just what is it eliminates some options for big floor plate buildings, yes, taller, squatter, or shorter, but with bigger footprint buildings.
Is that important because, as in the discussion on the South Waterfront, you want to have view corridors? Is that why this is an issue?
Yes, and mostly this is in all fairness, this is mostly a standard that was developed for west of the tracks and on the waterfront. It's one that we probably could give closer examination to on this one super block, this one big parcel. But the intention is to have taller, thinner buildings, more visual. More views through them, more light on the streets.
And allowing Jim to do what he'd like to do makes it less likely that we'll have adequate view corridors?
It sort of eliminates that as an issue that we can even talk about at this point. It's not that terribly tall a building. It's up against the broad, up against an elevated structure, but it still could be an issue. I don't want to overrepresent sort of what kind of negative impact the building like he's describing could have, but it would be different.
Your statement in here about urban forum said that that the larger FAR would result in a more massive, bigger building.
Correct. But that's just increasing the total amount of space that could be built on the site. That we think is problematic. The amount of Troy was citing the total amount of development potential on the site would be comparable to Big Pink. So we're not sure that that scale of development, even in a building and what the building looks like, is appropriate on this site.
You said as a result it would have a different urban form for the area.
Correct. Yes.
Maybe a larger massing than anything else we have in the plan area.
But again, I just want to make sure I understand. Sorry, this building is east of the railroad tracks, right?
Correct.
So as you just said that the design considerations around sight lines and the aesthetics is more appropriate to buildings on the west side of the or in the south waterfront than on
the east. No. It's on the west side as well as the waterfront in this area. But they were designed on the waterfront to the massing requirements that are applicable to this site are more applicable to the properties that are west of the railroad tracks. We also did a similar approach towards building massings to thin them up on the waterfront, but there are different criteria than apply on one waterfront site.
Yeah, we treated this large parcel the same way we treated the parcels to the west.
So Joe, you said that we could take staff recommendation and deny. We're just going through the options. Mm-hmm. We could do a carve out. On something like this, where my guess is that all other items can be dispensed with in this hearing, is there an option to adopt the plan and to carve this issue out for further consideration, or is there no plan without all the pieces addressed at the same time?
We would have to put something in place with the adoption of this plan for this parcel. So I believe that the carve-out would be the same as, giving us a instruction to come back and revisit the particulars of this parcel.
The plan itself, the two pieces we're not going to vote on today, they'll both go forward to a second hearing. The first one, because it's an ordinance and has to go forward to a second hearing. So the net effect is that if we change the second piece, which is a resolution, and that it would have to, even though it's a resolution, we can't vote on it today until after we vote on the North Pearl plan. So both would be carried forward to next week.
Here,
so any changes.
Why wouldn't we be voting on these amendments that were before us last time? Why wouldn't we be voting on these today?
Vote on any amendments you want to make today, but not the whole plan.
Well, actually, I said that we're to set it over to vote as to vote with the second reading of the ordinance.
Correct.
Because if there's any changes made today, it's got to be incorporated into the ordinance itself.
Correct.
So you have to vote both of them at the same time.
We would need to do what Commissioner Fish is talking about leaving it out or holding it over. We would need an amendment today, right, that would have to be incorporated in the ordinance for you to be able to vote on the ordinance.
It's just, and I just want to make sure, Mayor, I understand this. I just for my benefit, there's seven amendments. I'm not advocating we carve it out and hold it in abeyance. I just want to understand the options. But we could today, as I understand it, have a motion to adopt staff recommendations on six of the seven amendments and dispose of that today if we wanted.
No.
Why not?
Well, because it has to be heard at the same time as the plan itself, because the plan incorporates these amendments.
Right. We would have to bring forward a new ordinance and a whole separate legislative process, Commissioner, to
I see.
After you've adopted this plan to change one property.
So, Joe, since we're all earnestly struggling with these issues just to understand them and to in our own ways come to a fair and balanced outcome, if we were to accept staff's recommendation on the matter that Mr. Winkler raised, what is the hardship that would follow for him? What is a practical hardship that he would have as compared to what he's seeking by way of the relief?
The risk factor would be that the building approved building plan that he has now doesn't develop, and he would come back in with a future development scenario that didn't fit with even what he could build on the site through modification under the existing code.
So a contingency, and that could occur in the next 2 or 3 years?
That could, if that happened before we adopted the Central Portland plan, and where there'll be another set of rules in place, yes, that would be an impact on his next round or next go at the development of this parcel.
And if we were at that stage, he would have some, there's some flexibility at design guidelines that he could seek, right? There's some additional flexibility he could get there.
There would be. Still, it would be less than he has today, but there would be, yes.
And he would still have some recourse back to council for some further some adjustment? We would ultimately have that say?
You know, I'm not sure the prohib. I'll let Troy answer this.
Do you mean through the legislative process itself?
Right.
Through the legislative process, yes, certainly.
Right. Another provision that that's we've been talking about for the waterfront parcels here. That's part of this plan. That's one of the motions that the Planning Commission has instructed us to go try to do is this master planning tool, and this large site. And adding flexibility to how you arrange your buildings and move your FAR around and design a large site is what the master planning tool is supposed to be all about. The Planning Commission put in place rules for those large waterfront parcels that require setbacks between buildings and the buildings to get smaller, although they allowed some more height. But they were really counting on us coming back through the Central Portland Plan with this master planning tool to give the right tool for those parcels as well. That tool, you know, if... we develop one that's acceptable to City Council and get it adopted would apply to or could apply to this parcel as well. So there's other options that will come out of the Central Portland Plan that add flexibility, potentially could add flexibility to future development of this site.
Joe or Trey, I'd like to reverse the question. Are all developers in development within this proposed North Pearl District be subject to the changes that would occur under the new plan, and if we accepted that, would everybody else then be required to comply with the plan except for the Winkler NATO project?
If you carved it out, Mayor, yes, that would be true.
So everybody else is, we talk about them being penalized, but everybody is subject to that. It's not just about them.
Correct. But it's a little bit, they are in a, just to be fair, they're in a little bit of a different situation, but that's true.
And that's because?
The size of the site and its location.
Why does that make that different?
They actually have a site where I guess a massive footprint might be possible.
It eliminates
that option if that's really where you wanted to go with the parcel.
Was it referred to as a super block?
I don't know if it's technically a super block, but it's a much larger parcel than a typical city block.
Okay. But it gets back to the original point I raised. I mean, this almost sounds like a property rights argument that I'm hearing. You know, we own the property. This is what the regulation was at one time. You're changing it. Now we can't do what we want. But what I'm hearing is that from you guys that what we're trying to do is make sure the development happens in a way appropriate to its location because of its relationship to the waterfront. Am I incorrect about that?
Well, the rest of the district is going to be built under these new rules that are designed to give you a certain sort of massing of buildings. And on the waterfront...
Is that because of the district's relationship to the waterfront?
District's relationship to the waterfront and the district's character in itself. So that's what was really driving defining these rules.
Mr. Winkler, in terms of property, said that they're proceeding with the plan that they have right now that was not only within the guidelines of the previous plan, but the new plan as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what they're trying to do is hedge the bet,
mm-hmm.
is what happens in the future. So I don't think it's changing their current plan.
Okay.
It's just changing.
Mayor, thank you for that. I think that's a very excellent point because there is an approved plan and design, and there's no claim of some hardship under those rules. The question before us is there a potential hardship if that plan falls through and there's some future development? And that's a different argument that we often get.
Okay.
Because I don't hear a clear harm now because you already have an approved plan and developer, a very sophisticated developer who's prepared to go ahead under a set of rules as an approved plan.
And we're not changing the rules for them.
We're not changing any rules as to this project.
Unless this project falls through and then they reapply.
And then what I'm hearing is that there's a second bite at the apple. It may not be a perfect bite at the apple, but there's a second bite at the apple through a legislative process, through the Portland plan, and through some other recourse.
Correct.
And any other developer in a similar situation in the same area could claim the same thing.
Correct, Mayor. That's actually just the rules apply to all the sites. If we're opening up this option for large floor plate commercial development, I'm sure we'll see would hear from other people who would want a piece of that as well.
Yeah. So just I had one question. The statement earlier, there's 3 years from the time design review approved it, so there's about 2 years and 9 months, I guess, remaining on this approval for this one waterfront. How likely are some of the issues of the master planning regulate? Well, I guess the central Portland plan and the products that may come out of that, which may be of value to one waterfront if their current proposal needs to be reexamined. Any likely overlap of timelines, or are we really talking for Central Portland plan something 3-4 years before we actually have maybe implementing regulations?
The master plan tool, I think, would be the way we're even thinking about it now, could be an early adoption of a legislative item out of the Central Portland plan. The rewrite of the whole Central City Zoning Code, I just don't want to misrepresent how complicated that's going to be and how many of these hearings we're going to be having with you. So we'd like to get it done in 3 years, but I can't guarantee that. But this master plan tool, there's a lot of momentum and interest behind. It's discrete and could work within our current zoning code. Mm-hmm. So I would expect that's going to be an early action item.
And by that you mean?
Like within 3 years would be our hope, yes.
Okay, thanks.
We're actually working on it now. For just starting to explore options for it.
Okay. Other questions? As I explained before, the first item is a resolution, 1475. And it is really adopting the proposed amendments that you folks have requested.
The staff recommendations.
Excuse me, that's the plan. We hear the plan next week because it's an ordinance, so it goes to a second reading. Correct. It's the 1476 that would encompass the recommended amendments. And in order to approve the plan next week, we've got to also ensure that it has all the appropriate amendment changes so that we adopt the plan in toto. Is that correct? Right?
Well, and if you were to adopt as recommended by staff, we have that material before you already. So the ordinance already speaks to the zoning amendments. They're here. They've been amended to reflect those staff support amendments. We've also have the language in front of you in the memo that shows exactly how the action item in the plan would be amended to address Mr. Michelson's request that we also staff. So if actually you can, we don't need to amend the ordinance to address those because they're referred to in the ordinance already. It's just a reference to the plan. It's a reference to the zoning amendments.
Just in plain English, does that mean that we can today vote on the amendments and then vote on the adoption of the plan? Council?
No. You've got to vote on the amendments and then has to carry over to a second hearing and vote
on the adoption of the plan.
And adopt it then.
Okay.
That's correct.
Within the package today, there's amendments to the plan and amendments to the code. So,
Mayor, is this an appropriate time to have a council discussion?
Sure.
And I just for my own sake, is and trying to understand this, there are seven amendments. Is it the sense of the council that there are six that are not controversial?
Well,
I think there's seven.
Six that prior to this conversation we all had that they've been worked out, and so there's a seventh that we've been having a hearing on. Really spending the bulk of this time, and I'm prepared to vote on all seven.
Okay.
And I would be prepared to vote on a package, but I'd like to also explain my vote when we get to that point.
Okay. So I'd like to ask the city attorney, because the notes indicate that we're to set the vote over until we have vote at the plan two. So I just want to hear from the city attorney as to can we vote on the resolution today, which would encompass the amendments.
What I heard him say was we can vote on the amendments, but we'd hold off voting on the plan adoption until next week. But
correct. Let's please clarify for the council.
We can vote on the amendments today. Okay. If the amendments are approved, it will carry over for a second reading to vote on the ordinance. The resolution will be deferred until that second reading.
And the amendments, we are approving the recommendations of staff.
Correct.
Or not. Okay. So does someone then want to
move the amendments?
Second.
Call the vote.
Fish.
So I have been listening intently to the discussion and appreciate the testimony that Mr. Winkler and Mr. Nato have presented before us, and have been thinking long and hard about the issues that they have raised. And I compliment them both. I have a better understanding today why they're successful in what they do, and I listen carefully to their arguments. With respect to amendment, there's only one amendment that I thought warranted any attention today, and that's the one that addresses their property. That is one staff recommendation that warranted some, and I've listened carefully to the different options before us, and I have to frankly come back to the fact here that there was an opportunity to participate in the process as it unfolded, which has been pointed out by prior witnesses, has gone on for a long time. Mr. Winkler has an approved plan and design under the old rules. He has identified a potential condition that could occur in the future for which there is some relief. It may not be the complete relief that he seeks, but it is some relief. And frankly, he has created a record before council today, which I would revisit if it ever came back to us on any application, because I think he has raised some interesting issues. But absent a claim that somehow the process was fundamentally defective, which I've not heard, and based on, I think, the sense of this council that we want to honor the integrity of the planning process and not engage in one-offs on the margins, which is one of the reasons that I think our sense was we would not make a special accommodation for Mr. Bachrach and his property. Based on the fact that Mr. Winkler has an approved plan and design, and as I said, that there may be some recourse, and based on the discussion that we've had about the actual footprint issues and the possibility of building a perfectly respectable office building within these constraints, I'm not prepared to take apart and, in effect, engage in some spot zoning on this matter, because I don't believe the equities rise to the level of doing that. And I say that with all respect, because I have enormous regard for the developers in this case, and I've tried to give them every benefit of the doubt. But I just don't think the argument is sufficient to change the overall integrity of this plan, and so I vote aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I think the comments of Commissioner Fish, I think, reflect my own. I struggle with this issue because of the concerns about the competing traffic analysis, and, you know, I think there is some merit. I think they feel very strongly about that. And, you know, I respect the caliber of the people that are coming before us on this matter. But I also, as I've come to understand more today about the three-year window, about the, I think as maybe Commissioner Frisch said, maybe another bite at the apple through the Central City Plan. So I appreciate the principles upon which they are making their case. My sincere hope is that something gets built between now and when their three-year permit expires. But if it doesn't and they need to come back with another alternative, I think there is flexibility for us to be revisiting this in the future. And putting aside that amendment, I want to take this opportunity to say that, you know, the North Pearl Plan really is a gemstone, and I really want to thank all the people who have worked on this. It's the first example, I think, of a comprehensive plan that we've put together that really speaks to issues that people have talked about a lot, you know, how to become more family-friendly, how to build more family housing throughout our city, but particularly in this area of town where people always question whether that was part of the future. I think we do see now that is part of the future. So I really want to commend Troy and Joe and
Mauricio,
excuse me, and Gil for the work here and the steering committee. This really is groundbreaking, literally groundbreaking stuff. And so I just want to take this opportunity to not let that get lost in the debate over the amendments. So I'm pleased to vote aye as well.
Potter.
Thanks, folks. I believe that the proposed amendments are consistent with the North Pearl District Plan, and I vote aye. We're adjourned until next week.
If we could just announce a date for the second reading.
The second reading is?
Next Wednesday, November 5th.
What time?
In the 9:30 a.m. session.
9:30. Thank you. We're adjourned.